everyone. Welcome to Ditto. We are really excited today. We have our first guest of season two, and this guest is a super special one. We have Andy Sullivan with us here today. Andy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to see you in a different element, Hachi, although it will be similar, but I'm just excited to chat and meet Matt.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes. Well, we're really excited to chat as well with you. I really enjoy having teammates on the podcast because, like you said, we get to see each other like in a different light through a different medium, and we get to have like conversations that we normally don't have, and with the insight and wonderful questions from Matt, which is always fun. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm on spring break this week. So, Andy, I'm a professor at the University of Utah. And Amazing. So this week is spring break. So I'm here at the university, which is kind of weird. But I'm looking at my hallway right now, and it's dark and quiet, and it's really nice. So the week's going good, for sure.
Oh, I miss spring break. That sounds nice.
I know. It's great. It's great.
Cool. Well, for our guests, if you don't know who Andy is, then you definitely live under a rock. But Andy is a Washington Spirit soccer superstar, captain, wonderful friend, teammate, wife, and soon-to-be mother, which we're all so excited about. Which I can't wait to ask you more about later. Yes. But I want to start... the first time we met Andy was our first ever U.S. Women's National Team call-up. Do you remember that?
You're so right. I didn't realize that was the first time we met, but you're absolutely right.
I mean, I honestly don't remember talking to you much.
The whole experience was, you know, we were in a high-stress environment, so it makes sense that the memories are a little foggy.
Yes, it definitely was a lot going on. But what I do remember from that first experience of just like, obviously, like being in the national team environment for the first time, was like you and the way that you carried yourself. And we were both like, it was both our first time with the senior women's national team. But the difference between me and you is like, you were starting the game and playing and doing amazing. And I was just like, trying to like catch my breath and like learn how to play soccer.
But anyway. You got in the same game that I got in, Hachi. Don't sell yourself short.
No, but you were starting, and I thought that was really impressive. And I just remember being like, wow, she is like my age or like a year younger in school, and she's already like playing at the senior national team, already being a leader at such a very, very young age. And then I remember like kind of following you, obviously, throughout your career because of that experience. And shortly after that kind of like high, I'm sure it was a high of your career, you experienced a pretty big injury not long after. Was it that same season or?
It was. Yeah.
So you tore your ACL. That was your first time.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
So my question kind of for you is, how did you navigate that time of going from like a super high, like achieving like a really amazing goal of yours, I'm sure, for a very long time, and then coming back and then having to experience, which I'm sure was a very low, like how did you navigate those emotions and kind of working through that experience?
Yeah, I had a lot of support. But like you said, it was like the highest high. I got called into my first camp. It went really well. I got to start and play, and then I got called into the second camp. So I was like, okay, it wasn't a fluke. and those games went really well as well. So I was like, okay, this is the start of my dreams. Like, life is good. And then I went back to college and tore my ACL in the tournament, NCAA tournament. And I remember, and it like also ended our season that same day. So which is always hard when you have friends on the team, you know, and that was kind of, that was probably one of the strongest teams I had been on. So we really thought, you know, we were going to do it all. And I remember even that night, one of the moms of my teammates was like trying to cheer me up because I knew immediately that it was torn. The surgeon was there and checked me out and everything. So shout out to Dr. McAdams. He's the man. but she was trying to cheer me up and she was like, well, like, how was your time with the national team? And I was like, oh, it was amazing. And then I immediately started crying because I was thinking like, okay, was that all I get? Like, was that, I mean, was that my opportunity and now it's over? But I had a lot of like amazing teammates and a lot of support around me. And one of my other teammates basically told me, she's like, yeah, you have like 48 hours to 72 hours to have a pity party and then it's time to get back to work. And I loved that as well. And then I think through the, obviously like the journey, I learned a lot. And I think that, it was my first serious injury and it was a real, like, it really helped me relate to a lot of my teammates and just the uncertainty that we all face. I think I had a lot of confidence in myself and my ability and kind of like starting to question that. So I think it helped me kind of be a better teammate and leader and just like being more empathetic to people who are struggling or uncertain. And then I also think like in the grand scheme of life, had I not been injured, obviously this is something you don't really learn until you have more perspective, but in the grand scheme of life, I think I would have had to leave college early had I stayed on the national team and been on that trajectory, because they were, you know, leading up to the 2019 World Cup and you go to camp so often, and maybe I would have needed to go like play professionally, all those types of things. And that was also right at the time I met my husband, or like started dating my husband. And so I think like, okay, because I got injured, I was able to get my college degree and like marry the man of my dreams. So it's like a lot of times when injuries happen, they stink, they're not what we want, but there's always something to take from it, even if it's things that you feel like you've taken before, or that you're like, I already learned this lesson, I don't need to learn it again. But and I think that's also like come to fruition with this injury, is like I tore my ACL again in October and then shortly after found out that I was pregnant. So it was like, sometimes things happen and we don't, most of the time things happen and we don't know why, but you have to like find your own reasons why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like the hardest part when going through kind of those trials or the initial, like you said, pity party, is you don't know the why. You're just like, I know there will be a why, but I don't know it right now. But I think having that support system around you is really, really important when you, I mean, I'm so happy that you met Drew. He's amazing. None of us know what we would do if Andy didn't have Drew. So yeah. Thank goodness.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. But I think, Hachi, kind of along with what you're saying too, is like, I think you need the time and the support system, but I think so often as like athletes in sports, we're so used to like reviewing things really quickly and improving them very quickly. And so it's different when you have to wait and figure it out, because we're so used to being like, okay, I'm going to address this right away. And I'm going to watch film and I'm going to figure it out. And like, that's not, I mean, of course I did that after the injury. I'm like, well, what did I do wrong? But I really didn't feel like I was doing anything wrong this go around. But again, it all finds its place.
Yeah, definitely.
It's interesting to me. I mean, a lot of that was so interesting, but it's interesting to me, especially with athletes that get injured, when we stay away from the why questions and plan ourselves more with the what questions, how much that does for us psychologically and emotionally, because we can't hardly ever, like you said, Andy, answer the why questions. And if we try to, we're just ruminating and feeding stress and feeding anxiety. I'm working with another soccer player right now, actually. And no joke, she just tore her ACL for the fourth time. Yeah, four times. And I can't imagine even doing it once.
Yeah.
And so finally she's, you know, really started to plant herself in this, okay, now I need to transition out of soccer and figure out what I want to do for the next 50 years of my life. And it's been, I think, from her telling me, really helpful to stay away from the why, because if she stuck, or if she, you know, identified and stuck with that why, it would just, especially from an emotional, psychological perspective, be so hard to get through it and to learn and to grow, like what you're talking about. So.
I mean, I think there's never, like you said, there's never, you can't really figure out the why. There's never really one
Yeah.
clear thing. And if it were, the amount of injuries that we all face would probably be reduced. But I think that's also it. I'm trying to flip that as like, okay, this is a cool opportunity to learn and like learn
Totally.
what works for me and my body and understand different like warning signs or different ways that I can
Yeah.
improve and all that stuff. But yeah,
And
hopefully
learn
this t
holistically about, like, you're with your husband and being pregnant and all of these other things about your life. Like, you're not just a soccer player.
Which I
It's
think has
interesting.
been a very big blessing. Obviously, it would
Yeah.
be a blessing on its own, but I think for my mental side as well, just being able to watch training in preseason, and I wasn't watching like, okay, this is going to be me in a few months, and if I just push myself harder in the gym or do more or whatever in my rehab, that'll be back. It's like, no, you're really out, and you're out two times over, so you need to absolutely chill. And obviously, I'm not chill and doing nothing, but I think it's just really helped me from a mental perspective that I'm not angsty.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Andy, I have a question getting to that. And I think this will be so helpful for other athletes listening to this who have gone through an injury and perhaps are going through an injury. What did you do explicitly or implicitly from a psychological and emotional standpoint during your recovery to, in theory, come prepared for when you're given the chance again to play? Because, you know, in helping and being around athletes and especially athletic trainers tend to be best friends with these athletes because they're spending so much time with them. And of course, they talk about everything from a holistic perspective. And so it's so interesting to me. I know I'm biased, but to equally invest in the psychology and the emotional component of that experience as it is with range of motion and strength and flexibility and everything else. So, I mean, can you touch on that with that, your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I thought about that as much the first go around. but also
Yeah.
you're in college and you're so busy and exhausted and there you don't really have time to process as much probably. Not unless you're at Utah. and you have the support, but yeah, I think that again this has been a good challenge and reminder for me that I don't have to have a plan and I don't have to have it figured out. And I think for me, I always like to, I'm a little bit of an overthinker and I like to overanalyze lots of situations. And I think with this recovery, because it was like ACL, medial meniscus, lateral meniscus is a bit of a big
Oh,
surgery.
wow. Yeah.
So it was bigger than my last one. And on top of that, the pregnancy, it's like you can make this plan, like you can make this program or whatever, and then you can have this vision of, okay, like postpartum, like this is what I'm gonna do, and this is how I'm gonna like come back. And it's like, you have no idea. And so I think it's also just been really, really good for me to be like, I have no idea, so I can't really make any plans. And so I think psychologically, it's always been like, okay, what's going on in the moment, in the present? Which is the best practice for us psychologically in general. So I'm hoping that that helps me in my return, that like again that I can't really get ahead of myself, and hopefully the practice with the rehab and with pregnancy and a child, that that will all just reinforce those reminders.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Ashley and I have discussed this for probably 5, 6 years now, depending on how long we've known each other. It's this overarching word of acceptance. And I know, Ashley, we've hounded this. It's a superpower for especially someone going through an injury, but really anything. Anyways, beautifully said, Andy.
Like you said, Andy, I feel like it's very freeing when you realize that you can't control a lot of these things and you you don't know what you're going to expect and you don't know how your body is going to respond. And so I think like having kind of this just like very like neutral and present approach to it is actually what's going to like help you up for like set you up for success. Like you said, as athletes, like we want to control everything. We want training to go perfect. We want every pass to be perfect.
Yep.
And because like that's how we normally kind of get our results. We know if we put in like the certain amount of work, we will then like reap the reward. But when it comes to life, like it's so much more freeing when you kind of just like let go and you're able to just like accept and be aware of all the different things that are going on. It's definitely like really, really hard. But I'm in college, like you said, you were probably naturally doing it because you were so busy. There were like a lot of maybe other things going around, like you were doing, like going around hanging out with friends, starting to date Drew. So sometimes I feel like that naturally just happens when we're busy and we have other things that we're focusing on. But when you are more intentional about it, it can be more helpful. Is there anything that like you now, you know, like you said, you're out kind of two times over right now. You're focusing on your rehab and also kind of just like taking care of your body and your mind during this pregnancy. Is there anything else like kind of like off the pitch that you've been like enjoying or like focusing on that has kind of like helped you like give you a little bit more like an outlet or just kind of helped you during this time?
My first thought is no.
That's okay.
Because and it's something like you brought it up. This is something I've struggled with throughout my professional career because I think in college it was so easy, like you said, like you had, you know, training or rehab or gym or whatever, and then you had your classes and then you had friends and there was always something, and so you were so busy. And it's something I really struggled with as a pro, and I think I was so busy after, you know, through college that I was like, I just want to relax and rest. And I also was like, I want to put all my eggs in like my career basket while I can because our career window is so short. Which is also another reason why I admire Hachi so much, because she does this podcast. She does so much in the community, especially with DC Scores, and she like is now starting her soccer school, and I'm just blown away by how she has that energy and commitment and consistency, because I think it's easy to become like inspired and enthralled by something, but to consistently show up and show up for others as she does is so, so impressive.
You're not supposed to talk about me. This is about you, Andy.
But no, I think it's something that I like admire it in other teammates as well, like seeing how they find different ways to express themselves. And I feel like that's something that I like missing sounds bad, but it's something I'd want to improve on. And I always have a lot of ideas, and then following through is not a strong suit in my like life outside of soccer. So it's something I like, it's also something I'm kind of hoping to do now that season has started and the team will be traveling on the weekends and I won't be traveling on the weekends and things like that. And also maybe as I get a little more pregnant and can't do as many things, like maybe finding other things to do. I mean, I like to like read or things like that, but finding other ways to like hobby and express myself would be good.
Yeah,
I
well, I
know
mean
a pretty good podcast
yes.
you
Everyone listens to Ditto. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
Well, I mean, thank you for saying all those nice things. But I would say that the reason why you are where you are in your career is because you are very, I don't like to use the word discipline because sometimes there's like it can sound like very like strict and very rigid, but I do feel like you are very disciplined and you're a great example to so many around you. But I think also like you are very invested in obviously like your relationship with Drew and you're a dog mom as well. Like I feel like Koopa and like reading when we're on the road, like I always see you like taking notes with your iPad and your pen. So like you are like doing things that I feel like it doesn't you don't necessarily have to have like a hobby to escape. And I feel like the best athletes, which you are one of the best athletes that I know. They know themselves like best, and you need to know yourself and know like what you need. And like if that's more naps if that's a little bit of chocolate, or like
those are definitely options.
Naps and chocolate. Soft serve,
yeah.
Yeah. So those can be outlets as well. Sure. But you said something when you were talking about your first injury, like major injury, and the experience helped you become a better leader. Ever since I've known you, you've been a leader on our team. Your second year with the Spirit, you were named captain. So you've been captain for like a very, very long time. My first question is, what was that experience like being asked to be a leader for a team at such a young age and so early on in your professional career?
Yeah.
Good question.
Really good question. And I, looking back on it, I have to be like totally honest, I have like mixed feelings about it, because again, we can use this in the podcast or not, but like Richie Burke is the one who named me captain. So I was also like, was I picked in a way because I would enable his behavior? Which I like
think so. I think you had a lot of natural like leadership qualities.
Yeah,
one of the best players on our team. I think those two things automatically qualify you to be someone that is a leader, but I can understand why you have those feelings, so.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember the coach pulling me and Aubrey and Tori aside and being like, you three are going to be the captains, like Andy's going to wear the armband. And I was shocked, because I remember even my rookie year being excited to, we talked about the busyness of college and my college career a little bit, but I was excited to kind of be more like, okay, I'm a rookie, I'm a student, like I'm going to figure this out. Yeah. And that didn't happen my rookie year so much either. And it was an extremely difficult year. And
yeah, it was.
And then so my second year, I was like, okay, like new start, all this good stuff. And again, kind of being put in that position. But I also think that, and also, again, put it in that position, I think, along with Tori, again, for me, like, Tori was always, like, the captain of the team, especially in the team culture and, like, the off the field and the care and, like, not only just for our team but also for the league, like, the thought and the care that she had running the Players Association is mind-blowing to me. So I think also having her, I never felt like I was like, oh, I'm the sole captain and I need to like do all these things. Like having Tori's wisdom constantly and asking her everything what she thought, and then obviously Aubrey's like steadiness and focus and her like drive, it was just a good balance between the three of us, and I think it really helped me. But yeah, I also feel like I've both like stayed the same and been myself, but I've also like changed a lot through the years with the leadership piece. But yeah, it was an interesting choice at the time. But I always felt like, okay, just like do what you always do, which is be yourself and like work hard in training and like want the best for the team.
Yeah. I mean, and I can attest to this because you've been a captain for me for a very, very long time. And I think as a player that is following you as a leader, you've always done a really good job of like doing what's best and trying to think of like the team as a whole, and sometimes like be a voice for the team or do things that maybe say things that maybe other people weren't willing to say or do, which can be really, really hard. And one thing that I also really admire about you as a captain is like, you can always tell that you're always trying to improve and get better in your role as a captain. I think it could be very easy, like being a captain for how many years have I been in the Spirit? Eight. Yeah, so seven. So you've been a captain for 7 years. Like, it can be really easy, I feel like, to be complacent and kind of like, oh, this is my role. Like, I'm here. No one else is going to really come in because I've just established myself. But every single year, you're constantly like looking for ways to improve, whether that's like the way you lead or the way that you communicate. So my question, like for you, is like, how have you, whether intentionally or just like because of the more experience that you've gained, like how have you continued to like learn and grow in that role as a captain?
I think you can attest to this too, Hatchie, that no years at the Spirit have been the same.
That's true.
And so I think that's how I view leadership a lot. It's like, okay, what does the team need and what does the group need? And I think you also kind of hinted at this is like sometimes what the team needs isn't what the team like thinks the team needs. And kind of having to like make tough decisions or communicate things that are like not super favorable, but that also goes in other directions as well. But I think, like you said, instead of using like the security to feel complacent, I've used the security to feel, because I've felt secure on the team for the most part. And using that as an opportunity to like push for others or advocate or again look
Interesting.
to improve things for the group because I felt like I could. And yeah, but I also think like I think back about like mistakes I made as a leader all the time, and obviously I still make mistakes, but like big mistakes, and also about like certain teammates who have taught me so much, because I think when I was like rewind to 2019, I think when I was named captain, I thought like, okay, like I am the spirit player and like players should be like me. And so my job is to like help people be like me, which I also think like as a youth player was kind of also instilled in me, and maybe even in college as well. And then I think again throughout my years at the Spirit, it's been I've shifted a lot in that perspective where it's like, okay, like how can I understand my teammates and help bring out the best of them? And how can I understand like the environment and what's going on and what could we shift? And what does the team need in this moment? Rather than like, okay, what's my initial response and how do I get everyone to like buy into my initial response? That's not really good leadership at all. But again, I think I've learned a lot and changed a lot, and I think it's been for the betterment of myself and for the betterment of the team.
Lots of awareness there, right, Matt?
Yes.
Too
I
much,
love it.
probably. No, it's great.
It's beautiful, Andy. I have a question to follow that. What's a good leader, in your opinion? Is it do as I say? Is it do as I do? Is it a combination of both? What have you figured out in your 7 years of leading that for you as a equates to a good leader?
I just think kind of like anything, there's like so many different forms of leadership and that you need
Right.
them all. And usually that one person can't be all the things. So I think finding again what are your strengths and then complementing those with the people around you. And I again I think that is what I was lacking earlier on. It's like, okay, I'm the lead by example and like a loud voice organizationally and like I'm gonna like power through. And that was maybe my leadership style. And I'm gonna be, you know, as Hachi said, like really disciplined and all about it. And then I think now over the years, it's like, okay, I have teammates who like they like to come and then they need to get away and they need to like not be like disciplined. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, how do I support that? And how do I learn more about that? And maybe I need to change what I'm doing because maybe what they're doing would help me. And so I think what I like to do a lot is I speak to Drew about these things too. Is like when I'm in a situation that I don't really know what like a leader would do or like what the right thing to do is. He's always like, oh, hey, well, think about a leader like you admire the most and what do you think they would do? And so the people I usually think of again are Tori Huster and Becky Sauerbrunn because those are like the leaders that I admire.
Teammates of yours, or are they just in the league, or
Yeah, Tori played for the Spirit for how many years, Sachi? Like since its inception.
over 10, over 10
The name sounds
years.
familiar.
And then obviously Becky Sauerbrunn with the national team.
Yeah, that name sounds familiar too.
And she like and again they're I wouldn't say they're similar, but I think they do like they go about their business in a way that I just really respect. So I think having, so you asked about what is a good leader. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's the
Yeah.
point, is being like, I don't know the answer, and that like we're just all figuring it out. And I think that's something I tell new players coming in. I'm like, hey, let me know if you need anything, and like if you have any questions. But typically every year it's been different, so I'm always like, I'm as new as you are, and so like we'll see how it goes and we'll figure it out. So I think I don't really have a set definition of what I think a good leader is or isn't, because it's just, I think it's very environment dependent, and our environment is shifting so much that we have to be adaptable.
I think that's a beautiful definition, Andy. I
Yeah,
know you
I
said
think
you
it's
didn't have a great definition, but
perfect.
that was fantastic. I have to follow up. This is so interesting to me. Let me know if this rings true to both of you, but especially you, Andy. When it comes to a quote unquote good leader, idealized influence. So you doing as you say, kind of leading by example. Would you say that's a good thing to have?
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta talk the, walk the walk.
Right. Second one, inspirational motivation. So you motivate, whether it's verbal, whether it's body language, et cetera, et cetera. Do you say that's a good thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Intellectual stimulation. So challenging them to grow emotionally, psychologically, and especially physically in a sport like yourself.
Yep.
Right? And then
He's
here's the
like, I'll
last one.
define it for you.
Here's the last one. Because all of these for me, as you were talking, Andy was like, tick, 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 tick. Here's the last one. Individualized consideration. You take into account that you even said it. Everyone is different. Everyone has different experiences, opinions, et cetera, et cetera. Check. You know what that's called? Transformational leadership. You've probably have heard of the term, and those are the four I's of transformational leadership. You just alluded to all of those. I just want to make that clear because I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
So now in the dictionary, when we look up
Yep, Andy will be there. Boom.
leadership, just Andy Sullivan. Well, when you were talking, when we, what was the first one that you said, Matt? The, or no, yeah, the one that leading by example. What one was that called?
Idealized influence.
Idealized influence.
Yep.
So as you're talking about that, and as Andy was kind of like sharing, I think Andy does a great job of leading by example by the way that she, by the way that you carry yourself, Andy. One thing that I feel like you've also helped me in is taking care of like the mental side of my game. I think like we don't really like talk about it a ton, or like we haven't talked about it a ton, but I know it's important to you by the things that you do and like how you kind of like take care of the mental side. I know that you like to meditate. I know when we've been roommates, I see you in the corner with your headphones on, like
Awesome.
meditating. So my question for you is like, at what point in like your career did you intentionally start taking care of the mental side of your game?
Yeah. Well, Hachi, I do feel like we don't talk about this daily, but I do feel like
Yeah.
we've confided in each other a lot over the
For
years,
sure.
especially when things have been
Yeah.
stressful. And I think that's something good about our
Definitely.
team, is we have also like people who are pretty honest about like how they're doing and what's going on. And again, I've always appreciated that about us and our friendship. And then, sorry, next part of your question was, oh, when did I start doing that? So I feel like it was kind of a slow burn for me to really dive in, because I think, again, as athletes, we're like not, especially in the youth game, it's like power through and like figure it out. And then in college, my team had like a sports psych come every once in a while. And he would say something that I would find interesting, and I would want to pick his brain about it. So it kind of started there. And then we talked about kind of like t pretty much then, when I was back from the first ACL and like in and out of the national team. So kind of after they had won in 19, and I was trying to get in for the 2020 Olympics. And then obviously COVID hit, and then it was pushed to 2021. I was like in and out, well, of the national team. I was in a lot of camps, but I wasn't like playing, and I was trying to move my way up the ladder. And I wanted to be there so badly, but it was just also like, it was, when you think about it, it's like It was pretty miserable, but I like wanted it. And I still, it's, I'm sure you can
Yeah, I
relate
know
to this.
exactly what you're talking about. Don't worry, I understand.
That's
But
fine.
yeah, I remember my agent was actually the one who was like, he's a great person and like obviously good to like vent to, but he was kind of like, you need to try this and like invest in this because it's gonna help you a lot. And I was in actually Sacramento visiting Drew, my husband at the time was playing in Sacramento, and my agent like set me up with a sports psych there that somehow he knew through the USL, I guess. I don't even know. So he'd also worked with Drew's team. And within like my first 2 minutes of meeting him, I was just like crying. And it was just about soccer. And it was like, I don't know, Matt, if you've found this, but it's like you guys have this innate ability to like really ask good questions that really just cut right to the core.
It's true.
And that was pretty eye-opening for me that I was like, okay, I can't just like keep waiting until things get so bad that like I'm just on the edge of breaking down all the time. Because like, I just have to be more proactive about this. So, I started talking to that sports psych every once in a while to kind of maintain. And again, he was incredible. And I don't even think sports psych was his main focus. I think he was like, he mainly worked with like kids who had experienced like very serious trauma. So then I would also talk to him and I'd be like, how is any of this, and how are any and my experience like important compared to the people that you normally, work with? But he was really helpful to me to kind of just show me how important like that work was. But obviously he was West Coast, he had a different job. So then kind of speaking to him, then I got connected with a different sports psych, which similarly was like, oh, I heard something that he said and I wanted to talk to him more about it. And we started just kind of talking kind of more on a, because I like psychology stuff. I studied a little bit of it in college, and so like I was kind of picking his brain from more of like an intellectual level. And then he was kind of like, if you want to talk about like this and you, like I think we could do this and make it, make it really helpful. And I worked with him for, so that started in probably like the beginning of 2021, and I worked with him definitely like through 2023, through like the World Cup. And like he was very huge for me and still is still a like good friend and good mentor. And he's the one who got me into the meditation Hatchi, and he has an app that's like very specific for sports,
Oh,
which
cool.
has really was like awesome. And I think it helped me also, like it got to a point where I was over the 2 3 years where I was like, I would start having a thought and I could like be like, okay, this, I would self-diagnose basically, and be like, and it would help bring me back on track. And I just had all these tools to rely on. And it's definitely like thanks to the work that I did with him. But I also acknowledge like I'm raving about him now, but so often I'd be like, dang it, I have a call with him at 3 and it's 2:30 and I want to just text him and cancel it because it's not comfortable. It's like it's hard work, and it's like you're usually upset or like figuring something out, and you have to like confront things about yourself, and it's work. So, but better that work than it's similar to maybe like if you have fitness that you don't like or like a drill that you don't like, but it's gonna prepare you for the game or for season or whatever. And usually at the end you do feel better. You like did it and it helped you and you're glad you did it, but just the like the beginning of it is awful. So I feel like it was
Oh,
kind of a
yeah.
slow burn, but I think 2020, sorry, that was a very long-winded answer to your question,
That
which
was
is when
awesome.
did you start?
Great.
But I think that a lot of people's initial reactions is like, oh, I don't really need to talk to somebody because like I'm okay. And it's like, yeah, like you're okay, but could you be better? And could you, be more proactive? And I think we do that. It's again, it's like you don't wait till your like arm is falling off to go to the doctor. It's like if you start having pain and you're, you start to like try and track it and figure it out and maybe get some, ask some questions. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a beautiful answer.
I'm always long-winded on these podcasts. I really need to.
No,
I'm taking
no.
notes, Andy, as you're saying all of this stuff. So very well said.
You could make it into a book with how long the notes are, I'm sure.
No, I think that was perfect. Honestly, that's very similar to kind of how I started, like you said, kind of like a slow drip and like realizing that like, okay, like maybe I need to address some things or like change some habits or this like process of like reinterpreting. I know Matt and I have talked a lot about that, like addressing like where you're at, trying to like just like stop and recognize it, and then it's like, okay, how can I like reinterpret this, or like, how can I make this more beneficial for me and like move forward in whatever it is that I'm dealing with or whatever stage I'm at in my career. So like, yeah, it's really cool to hear you talk through that because that's how it's been for me. So it's cool to see like another athlete like go through that process and find it really helpful.
Thanks. Well, I laughed when earlier on in the call you said that you and Matt were talking about acceptance for like 5 years. And I'm like, yeah, because it's funny, you think like you have something that happens and you have these tools and you use it and you're like, yes, like I get it. And then like a month, 2 months, 3 months goes by and you're like, dang it. Like and that's the thing about it is like you never master it. Like it always comes back up. And I think you can look at that as frustrating or like, oh, like why would I like keep working at this if I'm never gonna master it? But I think it's more exciting. It's like, oh, you definitely get better at it, but then the challenges shift and arise, and it's just kind of always gonna be something for you to improve on and figure out.
It's amazing how similarly psychological skills are to the systematic consistency elements of it, just as it is to physical skill sets. And those that get it, get it. But those that don't, it's like, oh, why am I not better? Why don't I have confidence? Why am I not motivated all the time? It's like, well, how consistent and systematic and deliberate have you been over the last couple of weeks or months or years? And it's just as important. Similarly to the physical components.
Yeah, I think we want to like only use those things when we're bad and like expect them to
Totally.
work immediately. But as like, again, I feel like Hachi and I have had very up and down journeys and witnessed them. And it's like, when you're good and you're like, oh, I'm good, I don't need to do this anymore. It's like, then in a few weeks you're like, oh, I'm feeling off or, something missing. And then you have to like go back, and then vice versa when you're feeling bad and you chip away at it and you're like, oh, like I'm still not out of it, but you know that you will be. I don't know. It's tough.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Andy, I think Ashley and I would both be remiss if we didn't ask you about the up and coming other human being that's coming into your life before we end here. I just want to get, I know Ashley probably shares the same sentiment. I just want to get your feeling and outlook and emotional response to all of this new experience coming in as a professional athlete and having to juggle all of this. Can you speak to that for a minute?
I could speak to it for a long
Can you speak to
time.
it for 45 minutes?
Yeah, seriously. Well, it's been interesting because obviously, like we talked about Drew and our relationship, and we knew we wanted to start a family, but also like that as more possible as that's becoming, it's still like a long time out from the game, and it's still a lot of uncertainty. So, like you again, so to have like this time, I knew I was going to be out, and so to be able to do that at the same time is pretty lucky. But it was kind of stressful finding out because I was pretty fresh out of surgery, and like I said, my surgery was a little bit rough, so I was definitely on two crutches and definitely not self-reliant as I'm discovering this. And then also I was like, is it like, is everything gonna be okay? Because obviously I had been, you know, under anesthesia and taking medicine and all these types of things. So like, and we've just known a lot of people who have had like miscarriages and things like that. So we were like really excited, but didn't want to get our hopes up. And so managing all that, and then also like, I'm not a good secret keeper. And I think when something's on my mind, I really like to talk about
Me
it
either.
with people, especially my teammates. Like I think in the locker room, like we can talk about a lot of very like broad, I mean, some usually in a very funny way. But I remember I got like morning sickness the morning of the semifinal when we played Gotham. And I like got sick, and I remember like I was thinking, like, I was in the locker room and I was thinking, like, well, what happens if I get sick in the locker room? And I remember thinking, like, then they're all gonna know. And I was also just like, I was standing in the locker room being like, all I could think about was, like, I got morning sickness this morning. I got morning sickness this morning. And I was just like, I'm keeping the secret from my team, which is so, like, not, yeah, just like really want to share. So it was just, kind of just strange, Matt, navigating it all. But again, I feel like I kind of hit on earlier about how I feel like it's been just we've obviously like wanted this, we're excited about it, and then it's been helpful with my recovery. And again, like probably couldn't have drawn it up better, even though it's strange to say that. So yeah, I think it's been quite interesting, and I'm enjoying that it's interesting. So that's where I'm at.
I love
Yeah.
the adjective interesting. It is. It's just I can't imagine being in your spot, either of your spots, and then now having another experience like wow, being pregnant on top of that. So by the way, very congratulations. I'm hoping and
Thanks.
praying that everything goes perfect for you. So
Thank you. Yes.
keep it
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah. Not too interesting, I hope, but no, we're like all so excited for you. Matt, if you haven't seen, you need to go see the video of when Andy told us. You're a good secret keeper, honestly, because you kept it for so long Well, it was
and
so
you got all of
hard
us.
because none of like the team wasn't all in the same place at the same time. So I was like, okay, like as soon as they all get back for preseason, like I'm gonna tell them. And then like two or three people were gone, and then the next like two or three people were gone, and I was just like, I'm gonna lose it. I'm gonna lose it. And I mean, if it would have like slipped, I would have been fine, because then I would have been like, okay, I can just tell people now, and it doesn't have to be a big deal. But we had to do like little presentations about kind of ourselves, to help our teammates like understand us better. And I threw mine in there, and yeah. So it was really fun. And that was like a really, that was, you talk about like an emotional experience. Like I wasn't expecting to be emotional because again, I was like so nervous, and like I didn't want to keep the secret anymore. But like to see like everyone's reactions, and also like the variety of reactions, was, it like made me feel really loved, honestly. And like also Drew feel really loved. And then I was just mind blown thinking like, okay, like our daughter is going to be so loved. And I think then thinking about it, I was like, wow, think about how many people in the world are like rooting for us and love us, and we don't even know. Because I was thinking about like my mom introducing, like when I'm 10 years old, like introducing me to someone that she like really likes, that she like met. And I'd be like, I'd be polite, of course, and be like, hi, you know, so and so. But I think when you see somebody's kid, you're like, especially when you know both parents, you're like really like fond of them and like excited to meet them. So I think it was interesting to think about like, wow, like our daughter's gonna be so loved because we have like, especially just in this the soccer community, that will like last our life. And but yeah, then thinking about it beyond that, it's like, okay, like people that know my siblings and know my like parents and like these random people, like there's so much good vibes out there, and I think we often don't feel that. And I think seeing that, and how I told my teammates, and also like the reaction to the video and how much people loved seeing our team enjoy that moment, I don't know, it just made me feel a lot more positive about the state of the world, and that there's a lot more like good love and vibes that we don't often like feel or get to touch.
Well, that's beautiful insight.
Yeah,
that speaks to the culture of the Spirit. Like, what a wonderful place to be a professional athlete. Yeah. I love to hear it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
I think that's a wonderful sentiment to end. Thanks so much for sharing with us, Andy. You're such a wonderful example of so many things. And I know people are going to love listening to all your stories. And I think I can speak for everyone. And we're so excited for you in this next chapter, in this next stage of your life, for you and Drew. You guys are going to be wonderful parents. So yeah, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Yeah,
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks for having me and listening to me ramble, and for all the future support.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
Of course. All right, Matt. I thought that was a wonderful conversation. It was so fun having Andy on. Let's jump right into it. What was your ditto of the day for this episode with Andy?
Yeah, I tried very hard, dittoites. Ooh, should we call that? Should that be our audience, or like our followers? Our followership?
Our fans.
Our fans? Dittoites. Okay. Dittoites. Anyways, I tried to condense it and like distill it down into one. It was just too hard because she said so many wonderful things.
So many gems, yeah.
So here's the one thing. The importance of the mental game. Like, that's my ditto of the day. However, I need something that's like an application, right? That some people can take with them. She said this. Well, a few things. Regarding this mental performance realm of things. She said, don't wait for the problem. Be proactive about it. Don't wait till you're sad. Don't wait till you're depressed. Don't wait till you're unmotivated. Don't wait. Just start now and be proactive about any and all mental and emotional components of your game. I thought that was beautiful. And then in relation to that, you have to put in the work. So we talked about being deliberate and systematic and consistent with that, just like physical skills. And then that conversation, this kind of hypothetical conversation that she's had with some of her teammates about, you know, approaching mental health and approaching mental performance. She said, yeah, you know, I've heard some of my teammates say, I'm okay. I don't think I need that. And then she goes, yeah, you're okay, but could you be better? And that was like, yes, that's it. Yep. Like, that right there is mental performance for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen listening, like, take that to heart. You might be quote unquote okay, but we all want to be better, whether we're athletes or teachers or mom and dad, whatever it might be. So mentally, emotionally, put in that work. Anyways, that's my ditto of the day.
Nice. Yeah. That was wonderful. Yeah. I feel like with that comment that she said, like, yeah, you're okay, but could you be better? Like, I've heard Andy say things like that.
Oh, awesome.
Over and over. And so that's very true to like who she is as a person, but also as a leader. So yeah, that was great. My ditto of the day is a line that she said at the very end, and she said, it's interesting and I'm enjoying the interesting.
I love it.
And I just loved the way that she articulated that, because I feel like that's just like a motto or mantra for life. Like, there's a lot of things that are interesting, or a lot of things that we're experiencing for the first time, or even we're experiencing something again. But it's a little bit different this time around, whether it's like an injury or trying out for a team or whatever it is. And I think having that kind of like curiosity, and also just like letting go of the things that you can't control and enjoying the quote unquote interesting was really, really powerful. So
say the quote one more time.
She said, it's interesting and I'm enjoying the interesting.
I love it. God, I love it.
Yeah. So
cool. Okay, DOTD's done.
We are done. First guest of season 2 out of the way.
I know, how exciting.
Amazing.